Hello, I'm Cynthia Lopez, Commissioner of the New York City Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. Welcome to the first of our film and television tours of Lower Manhattan. In 1966, Mayor John Lindsay issued an order establishing the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting, the first agency of its kind in the world. In the decades since, thousands of feature films and TV shows have been shot on the streets of New York, helping to build an industry that employs more than 130,000 New Yorkers and creating some of the most memorable moments in film history along the way. This tour is part of the Made in New York initiative, which celebrates film and television productions that shoot 75% of their project in New York City. I'll now hand over the tour duties to our guest narrator, Juliana Margulies, who will accompany you for the rest of the tour of Lower Manhattan and the iconic film locations. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Juliana Margulies. As a film and television actor who has lived and worked in New York for many years, it is my special pleasure to narrate this first walking tour of Lower Manhattan film and TV locations, sponsored by the New York City Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting. In the next hour or so, depending on how quickly you walk, we'll head through Tribeca, cross over to Foley Square, and continue down to City Hall Park, where the second online tour, narrated by my friend and colleague Matthew Modine, we'll begin. As we move along, I'll be talking a bit about the history of the places we're walking through, but mostly I'll be pointing out locations where memorable scenes from films and TV shows have been shot in the years since 1966. That's when the founding of the Mayor's Film Office helped to kick off an explosion in movie and television production that has not stopped since. Let's get started. Location 1, Tribeca Cinemas. Southeast corner of Varick and Late Streets, just south of Canal Street. Let's begin right here, under the marquee of the Tribeca Cinemas. In a way, it's a perfect place to start because this is one of the spots where film and Lower Manhattan have crossed paths most dramatically. The special connection between the district called Tribeca, which, by the way, is short for Triangle Below Canal Street, and the New York film industry goes back to 1989, when Robert De Niro joined up with producer Jane Rosenthal to turn a one-time bakery building on Greenwich Street into the Tribeca Film Center, a home for independent film companies. A few years later, Jane and Bob came up with the idea of a film festival for Lower Manhattan, but there didn't seem to be any urgency about the idea. Then came September 11th, which brought business in the area to a standstill. Desperate to help their community, Jane and her husband, Craig Hatkoff, along with the director, Martin Scorsese, pushed through their old idea, rallying friends in the industry and opening the first Tribeca Film Festival just 5 months later, in April 2002. It was an instant success and has since attracted more than 2 million people and nearly $500 million in economic activity. More recently, the festival decided to turn this former movie house and restaurant into their permanent home. Check out the posters to see what's running right now. For us, this is a jumping-off point to explore not just Tribeca, but the whole relationship of Lower Manhattan and the movies. So let's move on. Directions to location 2. From here, we'll head down Varick Street, following the direction of traffic. In two blocks as you approach Northmore Street, you should see a strangely familiar red brick firehouse. Location 2, the Ghostbusters Firehouse. For the best view, stand at the northeast corner of Varick and Northmore, across the street from the front of the firehouse. This is Engine Ladder Company 8, one of the city's handsome firehouses from the 19th century. There are dozens like it around town, but thanks to the movies, this one is special. In the early 1980s, this picturesque building caught the eye of Dan Aykroyd, who used to come down here with the cast of Saturday Night Live, after their show heading to the Odeon restaurant, which, by the way, is one of our next stops. Aykroyd and his partner Harold Ramis were working on a modern-day ghost movie that would take place in the middle of New York City. They decided this firehouse would be the perfect headquarters for the supernatural cleanup crew they were calling the Ghostbusters. All the exteriors of the Ghostbusters firehouse, complete with that souped-up ambulance racing out the red door, were shot right here. After first making sure there's no alarm going off, press your nose to the window of the main door and look to the left. You can still see a Ghostbusters insignia on the wall, a gift from the crew of the sequel Ghostbusters 2, which also used this location. Directions to Location 3. Facing the firehouse, turn to your left and walk one block to the corner of Northmore Street and West Broadway. Location 3. It Can Happen to You, Enchanted, and City Island. Northwest corner of Northmore Street and West Broadway. Though it may not look it, this corner is also a popular film location, and kind of a ghostly one, too. A spot where some major pieces of film scenery have appeared and disappeared. The first arrival came in the summer of 1994, when, almost overnight, two full-size buildings appeared in what had been an empty parking lot. They were actually a film set, one of the biggest ever built on the streets of New York, created for the film It Could Happen to You. The movie starred Nicolas Cage as a good-hearted policeman and Bridget Fonda as a down-on-her-luck waitress in a coffee shop located on the first floor of one of the buildings. The coffee shop interior, needless to say, was also a set, and the art director, Bill Groom, and his team had a great time recreating an old New York coffee shop down to the smallest details. The Venetian blinds, the tin-stamped ceilings, the cheap lunch specials posted on the walls. It was all so realistic that some people thought it had to be real. During the shoot, passers-by kept coming into the coffee shop set, asking for takeout menus or trying to order lunch. Within a few weeks, the film wrapped, and the whole thing came down as fast as it had gone up, leaving a parking lot again. Then, in 2008, the site enjoyed another starring role in the film Enchanted, featuring Amy Adams, who plays Giselle, a cartoon princess who has somehow ended up in the real New York. Giselle thinks she's found her way home when she spots a fairy tale castle on this very corner and knocks on its door, only to realize it's just a billboard for a casino. It's not till later in the movie that she finds a real castle downtown, which Matthew will tell you about in tour number 2. Before we leave this spot, I can't help but mention a newer film, one that I had the honor to be in, City Island, directed by Raymond DeFelitta. The movie also features a scene shot right on this corner in which Andy Garcia, playing my husband, a prison guard with dreams of being an actor, comes to an open casting call for a new film project by, yes, Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese. Andy is a little daunted when he sees the long line of hopefuls, which stretches around this corner and up the next one, and includes, among other people, his own acting teacher. It's a great scene, and one that plays in its own way on the strong connection between Tribeca and the movies. Now, let's head downtown. Directions to location 4. From here, follow the cars down West Broadway for 5 blocks, stopping when you reach the corner of West Broadway and Thomas Street. Location 4. The Odeon. Southeast corner of West Broadway and Thomas Street, in front of the Odeon restaurant. Before it was called Tribeca, this area was a gritty wholesale district called Washington Market, and this restaurant was a working man's cafeteria called The Towers. But in 1980, it was transformed into a bistro called The Odeon, and soon helped make Tribeca one of the trendiest neighborhoods in the city, with some help from TV and the movies. In the 1980s, this was the bar where a new cocktail called the Cosmopolitan first made its appearance, a drink later made famous, of course, by Carrie Bradshaw and her friends in the series Sex and the City. The Odeon was also a major setting for the film Bright Lights, Big City, based on Jay McInerney's 1984 novel, which was also set here. Perhaps its most memorable appearance was in Life Lessons, Martin Scorsese's segment of the 1985 trilogy New York Stories. In that film, Nick Nolte, playing a veteran painter known as Lionel Doby, gets into a fist fight with a trendy performance artist played by Steve Buscemi. One punch sends Buscemi flying through the glass partition inside, a winking nod to the bar fights that were once a ritual of the 1950s art world in New York. Before we leave, take a quick look across West Broadway at the big Art Deco office building that occupies the whole block. It's the old Western Union headquarters and was used in the 2008 film Revolutionary Road as the 1950s-era offices of the business machine company where Leonardo DiCaprio trudges to work every morning. Now let's head across to Foley Square and City Hall Park. Directions to Location 5. From here, walk one block down West Broadway to Duane Street, take a left on Duane, and walk a block and a half passing Church Street and continuing until you get to the firehouse at 100 Duane. Location 5. Engine Company 7 and Ladder 1 Firehouse. 100 Duane Street between Church Street and Broadway. Let's stop for a minute in front of this neoclassical firehouse, which has an unusual and somewhat tragic connection to film and television. In the summer of 2001, two brothers, Gideon and Jules Naudet, spent several months shooting a documentary film about daily life in this fire company. Then came a call one Tuesday morning in September about a possible gas leak on Church Street, a few blocks north. Jules was filming the firefighters at work in the street when he suddenly heard a roar coming from the north. Training his camera toward the sound, Naudet captured what has become one of the world's most familiar and terrifying pieces of documentary footage, the first jet airliner hitting the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Because it's so close, Engine 7 was one of the first fire companies to reach the towers. Luckily, they were also among the first to get out. A plaque on the firehouse wall lists the company's losses as far back as 1880, but none from September 11, 2001. Let's keep moving toward Foley Square. Directions to Location 6. From here, continue walking in the direction of traffic along Duane Street, a block and a half, until you stop at the corner of Duane and Lafayette Street. Location 6, Foley Square. Southwest corner of Duane Street and Lafayette Street, also known as Paul O'Dwyer Way. This is Foley Square, the northern wing of the New York Civic Center, and home to every level of government, from county courthouse to federal agencies. These are the buildings New Yorkers come to when they're involved in lawsuits, or perhaps a messy divorce, or just when they serve as jurors. And for those very same reasons, these structures have appeared time and again in films and television shows, especially the two stone courthouses across the way with their ranks of classical columns. The one on the left, the New York County Courthouse, was built in 1901, and its wide flight of steps and tall columns create an almost stage-like setting for moments of legal drama. This is where the district attorneys in TV's Law and Order are always fighting off mobs of reporters or exchanging tart responses with opposing counsel. Or where Samuel L. Jackson, as a police detective in the remake of Shaft from 2000, angrily crosses paths with a rich young man accused of rape. In The Devil's Advocate from 1997, we see the great stone facades through the eager eyes of an ambitious Alabama lawyer, played by Keanu Reeves, who has been lured to the big leagues of New York law practice by a charismatic but mysterious partner, played by Al Pacino. These same steps first made their appearance in one of the earliest New York films ever shot on location, 12 Angry Men, directed back in 1957 by Sidney Lumet. Here's where the juror, played by Henry Fonda, finally gets a breath of fresh air at the very end of the film. Years later, by the way, Lumet directed a TV series whose title, 100 Center Street, was taken from the address of the criminal courthouse just up the street. But the film that uses Foley Square the most, and maybe the best, is Peter Weir's Green Card from 1990. It's kind of an ode to Foley Square. The movie opens right behind you in the coffee shop at the foot of 2 Lafayette Street, redressed for the film as the Africa Café. Here a Frenchman, played by Gérard Depardieu, first meets an American, played by Andy McDowell, just before they cross over to the county courthouse to carry out a marriage of convenience so he can get a green card. The film comes back to Foley Square for its climax, a tough examination by the Immigration Service, rightfully suspicious of the couple, which takes place in the big federal building with the checkerboard facade just across Duane Street. And it comes to a tearful end right here, just outside the same coffee shop, when the couple realizes their relationship was real after all, even if the Immigration Service doesn't believe it. Now on to City Hall Park. Directions to Location 7. From here, follow the traffic down Lafayette Street for 2 blocks to Chambers Street, and cross over into City Hall Park. Location 7, City Hall Park and the Civic Center, southwest corner of Chambers Street and Center Street. This is City Hall Park. Walk a few steps beyond the corner, then turn around for a good look at 3 of New York City's most impressive and cinematically familiar buildings. To your far left, inside the park, you'll see the stone-faced sidewall of the legendary Tweed Courthouse, infamous for its connection to the notoriously corrupt boss William Tweed and his cronies, who siphoned off millions of dollars intended for its construction. Ironically, despite all the graft, the building is still one of the grandest structures in the city, and its big echoing courtrooms, central rotunda, and open cage elevators have provided a richly atmospheric setting for legal dramas of all kinds. In 1979's Kramer vs. Kramer, this is where the painful custody battle was played out between Dustin Hoffman as Ted Kramer and Meryl Streep as his wife Joanna. David Mamet's 1982 film, The Verdict, with Paul Newman, used the Tweed's interiors to cheat for a Boston courthouse. In recent years, those same interiors have been the settings for the countless courtroom scenes in episodes of Law & Order. The building has been beautifully renovated and is now headquarters of the Department of Education. Across Chamber Street, the magnificent stone pile in front of you is the Surrogates Courthouse, built originally in 1901 as the Hall of Records. The marble foyer of this building is so ornate and majestic that filmmakers have often used it to double for some of the grandest public spaces in the city. In Great Expectations, with Ethan Hawke and Gwyneth Paltrow, it plays the Metropolitan Museum of Art. In The Devil Wears Prada, with Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway, it plays the American Museum of Natural History. Over to the right, meanwhile, is the Municipal Building, a neoclassical skyscraper filled with city offices. Like the Surrogates Courthouse, it's often used in movies as a stand-in for other buildings. In Ghostbusters, for example, it's supposed to be City Hall, from which the Ghostbusters come roaring out in their ambulance, sirens blazing, with the National Guard in tow, after convincing the mayor to let them save the city. Filmmakers have especially been attracted to the building's amazing arcade on your far right, with its forest of columns, arched tiled ceilings, and broad flight of steps to the subway. You've seen it in Great Expectations, in the scene where Robert De Niro tries to convince the artist Ethan Hawke to join him in Paris, and in The Devil's Advocate, where the diabolical lawyer played by Al Pacino leads Keanu Reeves down the steps, not just to the subway, perhaps, but some kind of inferno. And most memorably, it's the spot where Paul Hogan as Crocodile Dundee politely corrects the mugger who is threatening him with a switchblade. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Directions to Location 8. Continue walking in the park toward the downtown skyline about half a block, pausing when the towers of the Brooklyn Bridge come fully into view on the left. Location 8. The Brooklyn Bridge. West side of City Hall Park near Center Street. The Brooklyn Bridge, which we see here from a bit of a distance, has long been one of the city's greatest movie stars. In fact, since the movie camera was invented around the end of the 19th century, it's hard to think of a single structure that has inspired more filmmakers than this great soaring span across the East River. When the early cameramen of the Edison and Biograph companies made the first moving pictures ever filmed in New York, or for that matter anywhere, they returned time and again to the bridge, shooting it from the East River for a 1903 film called Panorama Waterfront and Brooklyn Bridge, and climbing to its top for another film that same year, Panorama from the Tower of the Brooklyn Bridge. When feature filmmakers began working on location in the late 1940s, the bridge began appearing all over again. From 1949's On the Town with Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly, as visiting sailors clambering all over the walkway, to a scene from It Happened in Brooklyn with Sinatra again, this time playing a Brooklyn boy, just back from World War II, wandering onto the bridge to make sense of all the changes in the world and in him. It doesn't stop there, of course. In films as in life, the Brooklyn Bridge has been an inspiration for writers and artists of all kinds. From 1981's Sophie's Choice, where Kevin Kline mounts the bridge to welcome the young writer Stingo into the fraternity of American authors, to Spike Lee's Mo Better Blues, where Denzel Washington plays his cornet all night long on the bridge with the lights of Manhattan behind him. Finally, romantic comedies have used the bridge their own way. In the recent film version of Sex and the City, the bridge makes a perfect spot for Miranda and Steve, Cynthia Nixon and David Eigenberg, to reconnect after a painful separation. And who can forget the scene in 1977's Annie Hall, in which Woody Allen declares his love for Diane Keaton with the great arc of the Brooklyn Bridge filling the screen behind them, a brilliant use of the city's most powerful symbol of human connection. This brings us to the end of Tour 1 of the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting Location Tours. If you want to head home, you can get the 4, 5, and 6 subway lines right here, or walk across to Broadway to the City Hall station of the N and R lines. Or you can stay with us for Tour 2, narrated by Matthew Modine and covering the rest of Lower Manhattan, which starts at City Hall. To get to the start of that tour, just walk a few more steps toward the downtown skyline until you find yourself on Park Row, with the gates of City Hall on your right. In any case, I hope you enjoyed our tour of Lower Manhattan in film and television. I'm Juliana Margulies, and thanks for joining us. And thanks for joining us. And thanks for joining us.